You may be seated. Okay, and you can go over there, Zachariah. And I brought Mary here today. I don't know, we're going to read this little section, and I wanted it read. I figured Mary had just got done walking 70 miles to visit Anna, or her cousin. This was not down the road and outside. This was a 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old girl walking this distance to go visit her aunt, or really a cousin, a relative. And so of all the people she could have visited, you can probably understand women appreciate being able to talk to women, especially about things that men know very little about, having children and dealing with pregnancy. And so in terms of this setting, I wanted this reading to at least fit appropriately. Also to remind you that Mary was only a girl, a teenager, very young by any of our standards or some of our standards. Some were between, they estimate, 13 to 16, 17 in that age group, because that would have been very typical of a marrying age, because you could actually become engaged and married in this time framework at the age of 2, 3, or 4. Okay, you weren't living with anybody, you weren't participating, but you were legally bound and married in that particular situation. And so as we read this text, if you notice, it comes out of Luke chapter 1, 38 there. And I want you to understand that. And we're going to have Mandy read it as Mary, and we're going to have Ralph read it as Zachariah. So I'll start at verse 38 with you, though. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zachariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my lips, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary responded with this:
"My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers."
Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. When it's time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. The neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied.
Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. To show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace.
And the child grew, became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly in Israel. Thank you both. You get to stand. I'd like to invite kids to come up. Good morning, you guys. One of the things we do a lot of at Christmas is sing, and that's wonderful. There are many, many things in the Bible that from the very beginning there was singing that was taking place. And some people go, well, why do you sing? Or they even say things like, I can't sing. And God goes, it isn't that you can't sing. It's that I hear what you're saying. One of the things that we're going to learn today is about five different people who were all singing at Christmas. Some of them were like the angels. They sang, right? What'd they sing? Glory to God and on peace. Peace on earth, goodwill. That's the difference between King James when I learned it and memorized it, right? Yes. And one of the things that we're going to learn is that Mary, even though she wasn't much older than some of you older and bigger kids, she was singing this song. And you know there were over 15 verses of the Bible in that song she sang. So if you can learn to sing a song, because you're so often in the Word of God, that's what we're going to talk about today. I want to encourage you, don't be afraid to sing. Even if you're all by yourself and you can't sing a note and it sounds horrible, guess what? Jesus loves it all. If he can love me, he can love our singing. And if he loves our singing, it's because he loves us. It's like, have you ever looked back when you were a real little kid and you drew a picture for your mom? And it was kind of like, and you spelled the word like mom, M-N, or M-O, or something, and you misspelled things. And you did your mom tell you she still loved it? Yes, because she loved you. So I want you to remember that this Christmas. We're going to be listening or hearing the song that was read for us in a young girl's voice to remind us of Mary being just a relatively young girl, just a teenager. And then we heard Zechariah also talk about his son, which also was John the Baptist. And he also prophesied, filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, when we talk about that today, it's to remind you your very important part. That's why when we hear you guys singing, like you're going to do in the Christmas program out of the places, all heaven loves that very, very much. And I want you to remember that. Can you do that for me? You try and listen for those five songs we're going to talk about today. All right. Candy's over in that aisle. You got to go over there to get it. Careful coming down. Don't push. Careful coming down. Careful coming down. Careful coming down, hon. There you go. You're welcome, honey. Mary says, I'm the Lord's servant. Whatever he has, I will accept. If she doesn't give you an example of a faithful young woman, of a child, young woman, who is stepping out in an act of true faith, true faithfulness, you miss the point. Part of who she is, and you have to remember, she's taken, like we would say, from 0 to 100 miles an hour in the circumstances of her life. She's nobody significant. She's relatively poor. She comes from, although descendant of King David, she comes from an insignificant family, from an insignificant town. She is not of any royalty directly, other than the indirect descendant of King David and that kind of thing. And so into that setting, Mary comes, and we hear her, what we talked about last Sunday, say, how can this be? I've never been with a man. And then she goes one step further and she says, may it be as you have said. An act of absolute faithfulness and obedience. And immediately Mary does something which most of us don't do, which is take our eyes off ourselves. If God has something hard for you, go through this, experience that, we most of the time say, fine, but I'll complain my way all the way through it. I will find fault with you all the way through it. Why are you making me do something like this? I'm only 14, 15, 16, whatever you wanted to pick for her. How can you pick on me? This is harder than I thought it was going to be. You don't get any of that from Mary. In fact, what you get is a maturity, a song, words of life put in the scripture that we call that beautiful idea of the Magnificat, because how magnificent, how magnified my soul makes God in my life. I no longer see God this big, I see him this big. I no longer see him as far away, I see him as entering into my life, into my circumstances, beyond anything I could comprehend. And so when Mary starts her little song, with my soul magnifies the Lord, and she goes on from there and talks about, and my spirit rejoices. It's not just, hey, hooray. It goes, I'm giddy. You ever seen girls particularly are good at this? This is not an insult. I just don't see the men doing it until it's a football game. Then they jump around and high-five one another and giggle and laugh, okay? But the girls can do it over a new outfit, a new boyfriend, or 102 other things that they might love or hate or anything else. It's not a put-down. Mary says, my spirit is giddy. My spirit is dancing. My spirit is jumping up and down. And here she is in the middle of a set of circumstances which we talked about last time. Joseph, I haven't been with anybody, and I'm pregnant. And you've got to understand, Joseph, this is by the doing of God. And I expect you, she had no idea what to expect. That's the truth. She really didn't. There was no promise that, don't worry, Joseph will understand. She just had to trust that God was working this thing out. And we focused last Sunday on the fact that Joseph, spoken to by the angel, faithfully responded, I will take Mary and go ahead and follow through on this marriage commitment that we've made to one another. And so Joseph walks into that situation also, looking at all the friends, acquaintances, and people go, got her pregnant, you goofed, man, everybody knows. And Joseph would say, like my mom said, excuse me if this is, Mom, I go, Mom said, I was teased when I decided to marry your dad. I bet you're pregnant, Alice. I bet you're pregnant. You know what I said to him? I said, why don't you wait 9 months, see what happens? And 2 years later, I was born. Now, if you know my mom, you know that kind of sass and that kind of love that just didn't put up with it from people. I don't know where I got it from. But in that moment, she understood. And in that moment, in one sense, she could relate to what Mary was going to have to be dealing with. Circumstances that are very difficult to try and figure out, to try and relate to try and understand how very difficult this really is. And yet, she starts off with, "My soul magnifies, enlarges." It keeps making God bigger, magnifies the Lord. And he goes on to say, "And my spirit is dancing, celebrating, all right, in God my Savior." Now, I want you to notice there's nothing about Mary in Mary's song other than "my soul is magnifying, my spirit is dancing." That's as far as she goes. Everything else is about what God is doing for her, what's happening in her life, and how God is interacting with her. This is a 17, 16, 15-year-old girl who's clearly focused on the things of God. And even in the middle of these unpredictable circumstances, as she walks the many miles, like I said, almost 70 miles at least, all the way to visit her cousin, Elizabeth, and then to have that greeting take place, that fascinating greeting. Mary greets her aunt, her relative, as she should, which would have been proper, the younger greeting in a submissive kind of way, a greeting. And then Elizabeth turns around and she starts saying things like this. As Mary entered Zechariah's home, she greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, boom, it totally turns to what's going on in Elizabeth right at this moment. It goes, "The baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." Try to understand, there is so much going on in this first chapter of Luke. Mary is filled with the Holy Spirit. Joseph, listening to the Spirit. And Elizabeth and Zechariah, filled with the Spirit, begin to function in a level of faith and trust that the world hasn't experienced for almost 400 years, the silent years between the Old and the New Testament. And so into this setting, here's Elizabeth telling you some real life sets of emotions that these two women, pregnant, as they join together. And you can understand Mary goes there to be reassured. Mary goes there because this is someone who will understand my circumstance and my condition. This is someone who knows what I'm going through and the unpredictability of the way my life is turning out. And so Elizabeth immediately, with hardly thinking about it, but moved by the Spirit, she begins to speak those words as she does that. "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." If you have any kind of Catholic heritage, you'll recognize that as part of "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Okay, King James version of that whole thing. It goes, "In a loud voice she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?'" That's her little couplet. That's her little song. She goes, and you understand that. It's as simple as, you know, the little things that we kind of sing even as children sometimes, little meaningful phrases or little songs or little choruses that we remember from some of the songs that we've learned. But that's Elizabeth singing a song and is being moved by the Holy Spirit as she does that. And in the very breath that she does that, she's reassuring Mary that it is as God said, and I'm pregnant too, and we're now going to talk about what women, girls, like to talk about. And we're going to be encouragements to one another. 3 months later, Elizabeth is giving birth, and Mary returns home, another 70 miles back home. Try to understand, pregnant, ready to deliver in a few months, not quite that soon, but 6 months along probably. And you have to understand, not only is she spiritually a giant at that young age, I would say she's pretty tough physically. When was the last time you walked 70 miles? Pregnant. Last year, okay, all right. All right. Farthest I think I ever made it was 35, and that just about killed me. So, but you begin to understand, here you got this work going on, and then the miracle, this little moment of insight at the sound of your greeting, Mary, that as it reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. God said, the angel said, the child will be filled with the Holy Spirit. We could easily have a talk about the significance of the child being the person of John the Baptist already, uniquely different than even his mother, genetically and every other way. And we can talk about the fact that he was able to discern spiritually, because Scripture said he could discern spiritually what was going on. And at that moment, his mother, filled with the Spirit, led and spoke these words out to the family and out loud for everyone to hear. And so he goes, the phrasing goes on, "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And then we hear Mary's song. Now, we have to understand, sometimes at Christmas, we got to recognize it's probably the most singingest time of the year. It's a time when Christmas carols go on the radio. It's a time when you pick songs that we don't know, that we wanted to sing, that you haven't picked. Why don't you pick the hard ones all the time, or the easy ones, or can't we sing this song? And you can get all kinds of debates and arguments. The real point, ultimately, is this. These women, these men are singing. Now, in terms of this, this is actually part of the liturgy. It's called the Magnificat that Mary sings. And we've got Zechariah there, and he's talking about what we call the Benedictus, which is nothing more than the final word that's going to be said in one sense. And the Benedictus is simply a Latin term for the benediction, for the closing, for the blessing, for the final blessing. And so this is Zechariah speaking out his blessing. And so we've got the story continuing to unfold as John the Baptist is born and Mary eventually has to move forward. And so into this situation, Elizabeth has her son. Zechariah says, we will call him John. And we move forward in the story. And now, for the first time in 9 months plus, his mouth is open and he's able to speak to people. And in that attitude, in that ability to speak to people again, the first thing he points out is his name is John in writing. And finally, they begin to understand Zechariah is back. And so we pick up that part of the story too, and we begin to go, Zechariah, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come and redeemed his people. I want you to notice again, here's Zechariah prophesying, filled with the Holy Spirit, and he also doesn't spend any time talking about himself. Have you ever heard those testimonies that are filled with I's? I this and I that and I. And I go, switch it. Flip the switch. Mary, filled with the Holy Spirit, talks only about what God is doing and the miraculous gift and the miracle of what he's performing, even in her young body as it begins to go through all the changes that a pregnant woman would have to go through. And so into that setting, Mary continues to demonstrate a faithfulness and an obedience that is really, applaudable in the sense of how she begins to live, act, and respond to this unpredictable situation she's in. And so we begin to understand Mary is giving us an example of how you can be mature at 14 or 15, that you're not mature at 50 or 60. And instead you whine and you complain and you put out the reasons and justifications of why everything and everyone else is at fault. And you blame and you get into that mode and you lose the power of God in your life. When the Spirit is moving on you, you will sound like Mary. You will sound exactly like Zechariah, because that's how the Spirit always functions. His job is not to walk around and necessarily make you feel better. It's more along the line of giving you the awareness that God is in your life and working in the middle of your circumstance and continuing to hold you and graciously keep you and guard you and take care of you in all kinds of ways. And so here we go through the story that Zechariah goes. In verse 69, he says, God has raised up a horn of salvation. That's the Messiah. You got to watch it, because only the first five verses of Zechariah's song is about Jesus. The last five or so are all about his son, John the Baptist. And so if you read it with that little bit of sensitivity, you have no trouble separating, though. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us, God raising up his son, Jesus, for us in the house of David, as he said through his holy prophets long ago. Just like he said he would. Promises fulfilled. 400 years of silence. A little 15-year-old girl demonstrating a level of faith and trust and obedience to God that the adults weren't able to demonstrate in most cases. And in terms of her life change, more radical than probably anything you've had to deal with in your life in the last few months or years. And you begin to understand. He goes on with this. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our brothers and to remember his holy covenant. He's doing this because of the promises he made. God is faithful. You need to be reassured. Sometimes we want it now. God whispers, And then we go and get angry at God. How can you be so insensitive? How can you be so uncaring? Don't you realize I'm suffering down here? Don't you understand? And God says, could you trust me? Well, no, I can't trust you. But no, we say, I am trusting you. You just got to do it now. And we have this ongoing reality battle with God. We can't walk around and pretend that we're walking in wisdom and faithfulness and be unfaithful in the way we live or act. Because God is always going to stretch you. He's got more for you. You have only begun to taste his goodness. You've only begun to have your heart opened up. You've only begun to understand God is dealing with stuff inside of you that you may not even know about. You ever get poked? Sometimes you can just poke someone with a finger. Sometimes you poke them with a comment. Sometimes you can insult them. Have you ever insulted somebody and got an explosion of emotion? You just hit the button, as they call them. Boy, did you hit my button. And suddenly they're on you and they're beating on you or cursing you or crying or screaming. They're at a level 10 and all you did is say, ooh, you don't look so good today. But it was just what he or she didn't need to hear. Or, you got another D on your test? You're really kind of stupid. Or, how do you think that you're ever going to accomplish anything with your life? And it just happens to be your point of vulnerability and you explode. That's because those pops, those jabs, those comments expose what still needs to be worked on in your life. If you go grumbling away, mumbling under your breath and cursing the person who just popped you with something you don't want to hear and you don't want to be talked to that way, suddenly you're in the middle of emoting all of this stuff, bringing emotions up and attitudes up. You're treating people badly and your circumstances like you're the only victim that God's got to deal with. And instead, you begin to understand God is just simply exposed to you how far you have to go yet. You understand? When they poked Stephen, threw rocks at him, and were killing him, you remember what came out of his mouth? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. What you fill your insides up with are what come out when you're poked. And so here, you watch Zechariah beginning to grow. You hear what's inside Mary. She didn't put this on because she was going to have to read it in front of the congregation or that she was even aware or cognitive that it would ever be turned into a song that people would actually sing or anything else like that. She spoke it because that was who she was. And you have to understand, in one sense, God had one chance to pick one woman out of all the women born descendants of David and of Abraham, because he had to fulfill the prophecies, that would be able to not only live with this particular set of responsibilities, but walk it through with such integrity that you and I need to take our hats off to her. You have heard all kinds of reactions to pregnancies. You've seen and watched parents behave in all kinds of insane directions. Here she is. She has to walk all the way down to Bethlehem with Joseph. She has to have a baby in a barn. She has to put her baby in a stable, in a manger, whatever the circumstances were. And then a few weeks, months, or years later, she has to get up, take herself, her baby, all the way down to Egypt and live there. And yet, you hear the quality and character of this woman demonstrating to you a life of commitment. Zechariah continues to speak about this miracle of God in verse 72. God shows mercy to our fathers and remembers his holy covenant, the very oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear. Fear of him. Fear of death. Fear of not having to turn out. Do you understand how unfearful Mary was? Do you understand how different Zechariah was after his 9+ months of silence where he couldn't speak, where he had to learn to communicate in a totally different way? And still, he's praising God. He's watching and listening to the Spirit of God pour himself out and that whole experience of what God is doing through Zechariah. Then Zechariah 76 turns and he starts prophesying over his own baby. And he says this, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord and prepare the way for him to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the place of peace." And Zechariah finishes his song. So you begin to understand that precious miracle. You've got the angels singing Gloria and Glory to God in the Highest, that song that they sang. And then you have Simeon later on when Jesus is presented in the temple and you start to understand, as soon, "Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace." And each one of those songs in their own way are frequently found in liturgy. And if you realize 15 verses are quoted from 5 different books of the Old Testament in Mary's song. This is not somebody just pulling things out of the air. This is a woman who has studied the word, a young lady who has it living inside of her, who functions when you poke her, jab her, or dump something on her that she's not expecting. She comes out speaking a level of faithfulness, of kindness, of mercy, of forgiveness, of joy, of confidence in God that very much carries her from one part to the other. And so you and I have this ability in that sense to participate in Advent, in the songs that were sung over us. And it goes on at the very end then, as you begin to realize that, "And then John the Baptist, born, begins to grow in the power and the Spirit of God." And so, it's not an insult as much as when God pokes you, what comes out? When your life gets twisted in a direction you don't want it to go, what comes out? What kind of attitude is really under the skin? As we say, "I'm really thin skinned, don't poke me." Or some of the other more macho things that can be said by guys on TV or someplace else. But you begin to understand. The real problem, of course, is that when we get poked many times, we have not dealt with a whole lot of stuff inside of us. Mary sets an example for you and I. What you focus on, what you set your mind on, is what comes out when you get poked. If your mind is on things that are evil, justifications of why it's okay for you to be bitter, unforgiving, and hateful, and all the other unmerciful things, please understand, your mind is not from the Lord. It's not on God. And you are not going to turn and change and become anything different until you begin to walk away and say, "Lord, my mind needs to be set on you. I need to be looking at you, Lord, instead of at these people, instead of at those people in the church, instead of my wife or my husband, instead of these circumstances I'm in." So when I stare at the circumstances, I don't want to walk all the way down from Nazareth to Bethlehem. I don't want to walk all the way back home. Mary didn't function like that. This is a woman to be honored, respected, and prayed that your own sons and daughters can have this kind of maturity, this kind of faithfulness, this kind of obedience, so that when life deals them a blow, they have this ability to recover and respond and live out a faithful life like Mary demonstrated. God has that for you. Mary is simply an example set in front of you. When you have a woman full of the Holy Spirit whose mind is set upon God, you can't believe what God can do in her, with her, and through her. And Mary there in her song acknowledges that and magnifies her Lord and her Savior. Pray with me if you would. Lord, I pray for the challenge that we all need, the challenge that says there's more, the challenge that says, I confess I need the rest of all you have for me, Lord, and a confession, Lord, that makes a difference in the way I actually live and talk and carry on in my life. Help us to not be hypocrites. Help us to not be self-deceived. Help us, Lord, to walk a path of faithfulness to you and bring your blessing over each one of us. We pray this all in your name. Amen.